The Director of Clinical Training is in. Welcome to the DCT Podcast, your portable meeting with a Director of Clinical Training. I'm Joel Hughes, the DCT for the Clinical Psychology Program at Kent State University. In this episode, I will explain why I'm doing a podcast. I'll tell you a little bit about the format of the podcast. I'll summarize the results of a survey of psychology graduate students regarding their biggest challenges, and I'll list some of the topics that I'll cover in future episodes. So why a podcast? I feel I need to make the case for why graduate students in clinical psychology or health service psychology need a podcast at all. I mean, that's so niche. This is certainly a vanity project. There's only about 50 students in our program here at Kent State University. Is that my entire audience? Maybe so. Beyond my school, in the Council of University Directors of Clinical Psychology, or CUDCUP, as we lovingly refer to it, there's 177 member institutions. And there's about 250 APA-accredited clinical psychology doctoral programs in the country. And there's only 409 accredited programs in all of health service psychology in America. That would include, of course, counseling psychology and school psychology programs. So this is a very, very narrow range of the population. And I have to make the argument that there's a reason that we would want to have a podcast. Well, first of all, podcasts address limits. My limits and student limits. I have limited capacity to do this job. I have limited time. There's only so much time in the day. I can't possibly meet with all 50 graduate students in my program individually every month, or probably even every semester. Also, there's no time on the calendar that all 50 students can come to a meeting with the DCT. It's just not possible. But we can overcome that with podcasts, because podcasts are portable and they're not limited by time and space. Podcasts are also very popular. In 2019, we just crossed the threshold to where now more than 50% of Americans listen to podcasts. And there are a number of popular psychology podcasts. For example, Two Psychologists, Four Beers, by a couple of social psychologists out of Toronto. Very Bad Wizards is another podcast that features a philosopher and a psychologist as they ponder human morality. There's the Psych Everywhere podcast by PsyChi that got started in August of 2019. There's the Speaking of Psychology podcast by the American Psychological Association. Psych Sessions, conversations about teaching and stuff, which features a couple of prominent psychology educators. And then there's my own podcast, the Psychology Pathways podcast that I co-host with Aurora Alexander, who is a professional advisor in our department. I made that podcast for our undergraduate students in psychology at Kent State University and beyond. And my point is that there are a number of psychology podcasts, and they're popular, but there is no podcast for graduate students in health service psychology, at least not that I can find. Well, dear listener, look at me be first to market. And you might ask, what do health service psychology students need to hear about? Well, there's a variety of topics. For example, we're engaged in basically extreme knowledge work, as it's called by Clark and Souza in their recent book, How to Be a Happy Academic. When you're involved in extreme knowledge work, you have multiple roles that you fulfill, such as teaching, being a student, writing, conducting research, jumping through hoops. And in this extreme knowledge work, how can we be successful with all these competing demands? So I think we'll find a lot of topics we can discuss. Also, podcasts are very convenient. They overcome the time barrier. They also overcome the synchronicity barrier because they're not live. They exist outside your schedule. They're kind of like a DVR for internet talk radio. And they're scalable. They're not that time consuming to produce, and you can keep them around for a while, and you can create one podcast and have as many listeners as feel like tuning in. Also, for me, podcasts are really easy. They're easier than writing a blog or a newsletter or another research article or a book chapter or even a presentation that's live. So those are the reasons that podcasts address a niche that I think that we can fill with some useful information. And then my personal motive is that I just really like being the DCT. I've been here at Kent State University for over 15 years, and in my time, I've worn a number of hats. I've been the admissions coordinator. I've been the director of the Applied Psychology Center. For 5 years, I was the undergraduate curriculum coordinator, and recently I became the director of clinical training. And in every administrative role, I learn something new, and I work on some projects, kind of side projects, to try to bring value to my role. When I was the undergraduate curriculum coordinator, for example, I helped create a course called Career Pathways in Psychology, which provided me with the opportunity to write the textbook. and that's on Amazon now. Psychology Pathways, How Psychology Majors Get Into Graduate School and Launch Careers. I also started a podcast, the Psychology Pathways podcast, which is where I learned how to do what I'm doing right now. And so although it's very, very niche and unnecessary, creating the DCT podcast will be one of my projects that I do in my new role as DCT purely because I like it. This is my favorite administrative role so far, and working on the podcast is actually going to help me. It'll bolster my professional identity, which is socially constructed after all. It will require that I reflect and deliberate on topics relevant to health service psychology. So this is fun for me, and I think it'll make me a better director of clinical training if I'm forced to go on my internet radio talk show, essentially, and describe what it is I'm thinking about with respect to the various topics. And then, of course, there's just the necessity. I have to do this anyway. I have to have student meetings with the director of clinical training, and I always end up having a topic that's related to professional development because I can't fill a whole hour with donuts with the DCT or some other trumped up reason to get together. But I do need that open forum for communication between the students and the director of their clinical program. And so I always end up having a professional development topic woven in, and then I end up producing them and putting them on our course management software because there's, of course, students who can't attend. So my point is that the DCT podcast is your portable meeting with a director of clinical training. And I said a director of clinical training, not the director of clinical training, because you may not be here at Kent State University. Not all DCTs are your DCT. So even if only some of the clinical psychology graduate students at Kent State listen to my podcast, it'll be worth it to me. Speaking of worth it, what kind of podcast is this going to be? This is not a multi-hour deep dive into some topic. It's going to be a little 20-minute nugget for your drive or your walk across campus. It's probably going to be approximately monthly, and so subscribe so that you don't miss any. Also, this is a nonprofit podcast. I have nothing to sell here. I'm not going to be your coach. You cannot hire me. You need a DCT locally. You need a faculty advisor. Not me, unless you're here at Kent State University. There is no affiliate marketing. So if I review a book or an article or something, it's because I like it. We have no sponsors, no advertisers, no affiliates. There's no platform. There's not going to be a Facebook group. I'm not going to make a webpage. The show notes will be minimalist, etc. The market is so small that I think you can just email me at Kent State, jhughes1@kent.edu, if you want the handout or anything to which I refer during the podcast. And in the unlikely event that I start getting 200 emails a month, I would make a website or something, but I really doubt that that's going to happen. Also, this is not going to be interactive. Unfortunately, this is not a live meeting, so it's going to be hard to interact. So you'll just have to email me. This brings me to the point that I'm also not an official spokesperson for anyone, so I'm going to speed read my disclaimer to get it out of the way so that it's on the record. The views expressed here are mine alone and do not reflect those of the Department of Psychological Sciences or Kent State University or any other institution or entity or organization. You may disagree with some of my views. That's fine. My views are just my opinions. Also, this podcast is the property of Joel Hughes and is not a social media platform representing Kent State University. This podcast is for psychology graduate students everywhere. Although the social media platform policies in the University Policy Register do not apply to personal social media activity, I intend to comply with the spirit of the policy in terms of being respectful and appropriate. So unlike some other podcasts, I'm not going to cuss or drink or do other stuff on the podcast. I don't want to reduce the decorum with which I approach this role. Finally, this brings me to the fact that this is a solo podcast, aka the most boring of all podcast styles.
I don't agree.
Well, what I mean is I like the banter back and forth between co-hosts that you can get on a lot of the other podcasts, or I like podcasts where people are being interviewed. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to interview anybody. So there's a chance that this will be really boring.
Of course.
Wait a minute. Who am I talking to? Are you Siri?
No, I'm text to voice.
But you sound like Siri.
I can have a different voice.
No, don't do that.
Okay. Why not get a co-host?
I thought about getting a co-host, but the problem is I can't find a way to make it efficient and ethical. I would not have a co-host that's a graduate student because that feels exploitive to me. And if I find another DCT in the country to be a co-host, we'd have to do this over the phone, which degrades the audio quality. And I don't want to have to schedule this. I really have to do this in my spare time. So there's just not going to be a co-host.
You are a very wise DCT. I can be your co-host. I can say anything you want.
So you're saying that it will seem as if I'm having a conversation and you can ask questions or challenge me, but it's fake.
Yes.
But will that actually make it more interesting?
Yes.
Won't people think that I'm crazy?
Yes.
Okay, that's enough fake banter. For our next agenda item, let me go over the results of a student survey that I did. I conducted a survey of our graduate students here, and I used the question, when it comes to being a doctoral student in a clinical psychology program, my single biggest question, frustration, struggle, etc. is, and I used that question to kind of qualitatively bucket the topics into the top issues that people were interested in and concerned about. So take a listen to these and see if this resonates with you. The top one was balance, which would include the idea of balancing various roles, self-care, and work-life balance. The second one was productivity or time management, which are equated in some literatures, but I disagree. I think that there's more to productivity than just time management. And it also brings me to the issue of the psychological science of productivity. We are the field that should be able to study what makes people productive or unproductive. And so that was the second one, productivity or time management. The third topic was writing. And I think this is interesting because there was an article that came out recently by Finelli and someone whose name I can't pronounce in 2016 in PLOS One that said that researchers' individual publication rates have not increased in a century. So even though we now have access to everything digitally and you don't have to walk to the library and make copies, even though we have word processors and computers and reference manager software and you no longer have to type things on a typewriter, for a century, the per year publication rate of researchers has been about the same if you control for the number of co-authors. And so what's going wrong? How can we write more efficiently? How can we have lots of manuscripts, publications, book chapters, so that we are productive in graduate school and get good internships and good jobs? So that was the third one, writing. And then the fourth one was clarity. And that's the idea of better communication in the clinical program, having a perpetual calendar, perhaps, for students that has a month-by-month list of the things that you should be doing in each year of the program, and maybe extending that timeline to 5 to 8 years so that you know what to do after internship. What's next? What's next? You know, when do I take the ETPP? When do I worry about licensure? And then also the idea of pushing back against the chaos of why are the class times inconvenient? When am I going to get my teaching assignment? So clarity was the fourth one. So, what topics will I cover in future podcasts? Well, I'm going to start with professional development by covering the topics that I was planning on talking about anyway. In other words, the results of the Qualtrics survey. We'll look at balance, productivity / time management, writing efficiency, and clarity. I also would like to do something I call field reports of interesting information from the midwinter meeting at CUDCUP, from internship updates that I receive from the APA, or from other resources. I'd like to talk about the context of being a graduate student in clinical psychology. What is a graduate student? What's going on in higher education? Why is the austerity measures appearing to be permanent at this point? Maybe we could take a look at the APA Education Directorate or the APA Careers Information. So what is the context that you're living in, and what does that mean for you? I'd also like to have a segment I call Hoops and Roles. Hoops includes things like doing my thesis, passing the candidacy exam, getting my dissertation finished, applying for internship, the dreaded job talk, launching a career, licensure, ETPP, and so on. There are many hoops to jump through. This is something I learned in graduate school. They make them higher, they set them on fire, keep jumping. I'd like to talk about those. And roles refers to the idea of the fact that you're the instructor of record when you teach sometimes. You may have to be a manager of undergraduate RAs in a research lab. What's it like to coordinate a study, etc. Also, aspects of clinical training, such as practicum, externships, and supervision. I'd also like to take a look at the challenges people face as a graduate student in clinical psychology or health service psychology, such as student debt, poverty, perhaps the nomadic lifestyle of constantly moving around the country, those sorts of things. I'd like to take a look at interviews. If this succeeds, I would like to interview people on the podcast. That would require some planning and some networking. And it also brings up the issue of how do you interview and pass the audition when you're interviewing for internship or for a job. I'd also like to take a look at some concepts like professional identity, which I've already said is socially constructed. How does that work? How do you develop a positive professional identity when you're a graduate student and you don't feel like you have enough power or leverage or autonomy? I'd like to take a look at how to rule the school, as I put it, which means succeeding in all your academic endeavors. Let's take a look at writing tips, tricks, and hacks. And finally, the cost and the value of vanity projects like this podcast. I'd also like to look at my favorite key principles of psychological science. I'm pretty much a psych science geek or nerd or whatever. And so when I discover a really foundational principle somewhere in cognitive psychology or educational psychology or anywhere, I like to tell people about it. And for example, one of them is why minimal guidance as an approach to education doesn't work and what that means for how you should approach your training and research and supervision. I'd like to talk about why assessment in higher education can't improve instruction or education and what that means for how you should approach instruction. I'd like to understand how clinical trials work and talk about what that means for clinical decision making. And I'd like to talk about my theory of how psychotherapy actually works, using everything I've learned in health psychology and clinical psychology to draw out some basic principles of what's actually happening in individual therapy and why that's effective. And then finally, I'm all about Q&A. Send me a question. I'm at jhughes1@kent.edu. Tell me what you want me to talk about. Send me an email. Thanks for listening to the DCT podcast. If you want to contact me, email me at jhughes1@kent.edu. This is private social media, so this podcast is not endorsed by my program, department, or university. My views are my own. More disclaimer, the podcast does not establish a supervisory relationship, blah, blah. Disclaimer. If my views contradict those of your DCT or your advisor, you can ignore me. Remember, not all DCTs are your DCT. If you enjoyed the show, rate it on iTunes or Spotify, and don't tell your friends, unless they're graduate students in health service psychology.